for 78% of those who work in Lagos earn below 100,000. It's appalling. If that percentage of those working in Lagos are earning 100,000 naira and below, and they still have to meet their everyday needs. By the way, rent is skyrocketing. Food prices going high. As of this morning, fuel had risen to 800 naira plus per liter. And people need to commute every day. It only stands to reason that any logical thinking person would be looking for extra streams of income. It has become the Nigerian worker's dream, okay, to have those extra streams of income. And if you do not have anything that's a plus, a lot of people consider you as unserious.
Welcome to another episode of the Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, we feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. Joining me today is Precious Mugoli, Editorial Operations Lead at TechPoint Africa, to talk about the hustle culture, the need to have a side hustle or side gig, having the right strategy before going for a side hustle, the winners and losers in a situation where hustle culture rules, and also the future of side hustles. Let's get into the conversation.
Hello, Precious. I'm happy to be able to drag you into this conversation. It's been a long time coming. With the number of years of experience you have, I believe you should have a lot of insights to share about how people work in different ways. And today we'll be speaking about side hustle, side gig. And the hustle culture is something that often come up during conversations when you talk about, I even make jokes about it sometimes, that capitalism is after my life, because you have to work to eat, but it doesn't stop at just working. You have to work really hard. So that is like the hustle culture. So from your years of experience, what has your exposure to the hustle culture been? When did you start noticing that there's something like hustle culture? So let's start with that.
Yeah, so if I were to ask you how much the JAMB form, the UTME exam form, was sold for this year, would you have an accurate answer without using Google?
No, because I don't have a child. I don't have anybody I'm paying their school fees.
Exactly. So I said that to say this. You never know that there's something called hustle culture until the need to actually hustle comes upon you. It's the way you don't know the prices of things that you don't have a reason to buy. Okay? So when I was in school, I didn't suffer like that. I was able to pay my fees. Not exactly. I was able to pay my fees. I didn't have to work to eat in school and all of that. But for those who, by reason of necessity, yeah, had to work to pay their school fees, pay their house rent in school, they were introduced to hustling to make ends meet earlier than many others, like me, for instance. So I never really began to, as it were, do side gigs or side hustles until I realized that my monthly take home was not taking me home, as they say. And then I began to see that, okay, if I could find other opportunities to use my skills outside of my 9-to-5, I could get something to supplement my income. So to answer your question a bit more directly, I got introduced to it when I realized the need to make a bit more money to meet my everyday needs. And yes, that was during my first job, not before.
Well, the thing now is that this hustle thing you're talking about has now become like part of a person's ambition. Like if you just tell somebody that I'm working one job, it feels as though you're not ambitious, you don't know what you're doing with your life. And sometimes is a way to prove to people that you are hard working. And it seems like if you don't have a side project, you're not considered as very valuable as such. What do you think about this, about how work has become? Is there a phenomenal around it? Like, are there things that could have made this to happen? In your own particular case, you feel the job you're doing was not paying you enough to sustain your lifestyle. Are there other things that could have bet this thing that have become the new normal? Because it is now more of a necessity than a choice.
Okay, so for clarity and to lead to the answer to your question, what I was earning wasn't enough for my lifestyle. And I should clarify that the lifestyle wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Do you understand? I wasn't doing anything I should not have been doing. Regular expenses, housing, feeding, transportation. Do you understand? So yeah, even for those whose lives are not extravagant, who don't have an extravagant lifestyle, we've come to a point where you need to have extra streams of income, to be able to meet your monthly needs. And how did we get to this point? The cost of living has not helped issues. Inflation has contributed its own bit to the discussion, and the ease of doing business has also, on the other hand, made it difficult for employers to pay a living wage, a wage that's enough to meet your necessary expenses. Okay, so when you put all of this into a pot and you stir it, you find a situation where there are people who are working, because of the economic realities of the country, employers cannot pay as much as is required to balance out the inflation that we are experiencing. And so because of that, there is a perceived and real need. It is not just perceived, it is real need to add to what you're getting from your regular job. Now, there is a flip side to it. There are people who do not have side hustles. They're not doing anything extra. If anything, they have hobbies that they are spending money on. They have things they are passionate about that they can engage in. And you have a few people who are able to go home with their take home and be fine. But they are the exception as against the rule. I'm reminded of an article that you did recently where you were looking at the fact that, is it 75 or 78% of those who work in Lagos earn below 100,000? Yeah. And interestingly, I was looking at it a few days ago, and it's appalling, if you understand. Now, if that percentage of those working in Lagos are earning 100,000 and below, and they still have to meet their everyday needs. By the way, rent is skyrocketing. Food prices going high. As of this morning, fuel had risen to 800 naira plus per liter. And people need to commute every day. It only stands to reason that any logical thinking person would be looking for extra streams of income. So it has become the Nigerian worker's dream, to have those extra streams of income. And if you do not have anything that's a plus, a lot of people consider you as unserious. Whether that's a fair categorization or not is a discussion for another day. But I think the economy and the employer's inability to do more than they're currently doing. To be fair, a few are doing the best they can, while certain others really wouldn't care less. If you don't do the job well, there are a million and one other people who are willing to come in and do it for a fraction of what they were paying you. Yeah, so I think that's how we arrived at this point.
Yeah, it's fair that we got to talk about this, because it seems that every other day that this conversation comes up online, especially on X, there are people that will still come and say, no, that's not the reality of things. People are not that poor, people are not earning that less, and they will argue it. But here we are with having a side hustle being a necessity. And as our audience might be listening to this and might want to go like, oh, we're discussing the obvious. What this conversation is supposed to drive at is to understand the reason why this is a lifestyle, as it were, even though if you consider the outcomes or the implications later during this conversation, even though the implications might not really be very, not one you would want to subject yourself to, right? But it is now a lifestyle, so we need to discuss it, because it is, yeah, these are the issues, as they say, these are the issues. So I think we should move from there to talk about if having a side hustle or a side gig actually contributes to your career trajectory or your experiences or your career or your skill development, because what you've majorly mentioned now is economic reasons, trying to earn as much as you need to survive. But are there other things that having a side hustle or a side gig contributes to you career-wise, either by growth or by skill development?
Okay, so I think it depends on individuals and what you have chosen to prioritize. If you don't mind being caught in the endless loop, you can call it the rat race. If you don't mind being caught in a loop of from this side hustle to the next side hustle to the next one, adding to your income from a 9-to-5, that's fine. You just keep looking out for gigs that allow you replicate what you're doing in your 9-to-5. Okay. But for people who, as it were, have what I will call an escape plan, they'll have a timeline and say to themselves, I will remain at this 9-to-5 for X years, 3 years, 4 years. And in these 4 years, I will do as many side hustles, side gigs as possible. And I'll be deliberate about what I choose, such that at the end of the 4 years of this 9-to-5, I can move on to another job where, if I'm asked for my experience in the past 5 years, I'll not just be showing what I've done in my 9-to-5, but I can also layer on my CV the things I've done in my side hustles. Developers come to mind. I can be working for you now, Oluwanifemi, for instance, and I'm taking on side gigs and adding to my personal website the things that I've done. And then when I'm leaving your organization in 4 years, I have a rich portfolio that does not just cover the things I was doing for you. As an editor, if I do 4 years at your company, and in those 4 years I have done a number of book projects outside of the organization as my side gigs, I will add to my CV that in the past 4 years, I worked on 15, 20 books. I did 2 biographies, 3 autobiographies. So I started out answering this question by saying it depends on what your individual goal is. If I have an exit plan, then I will do the side hustle to get an extra stream of income. But at the back of my mind, okay, people say at the back of my mind a lot. In the front of my mind, I will have the fact that I want to grow and improve my skill sets by doing this side hustle. So if it's just to have enough to meet all your needs, that's fine. Pick everything that comes as long as it's legitimate. If you have an exit plan, pick what is legitimate, what will pay you, and what you can add to your CV. Things that will build your experience, increase your contacts, and ensure that when you're moving on, you have other things outside of what you did in your 9-to-5 to show on your CV. Or, as we say now, to put on LinkedIn.
Can you even put it on LinkedIn? Some of those side hustles are on the low. Well, talking from your experience, how many side gigs have you run at the same time, concurrently at the same time, in your year of working? Let's say, what's the highest number of side gigs you've run at the same time?
Okay, so considering the fact that 99% of the side hustles that I have done have been in the editing space, I really haven't done them simultaneously. If you're familiar with editing, you will know that it probably does not pay you to have 2 editing projects that you're working on at the same time. So imagine doing a PhD thesis for someone doing their PhD, and then on the side you're editing a non-fiction book, and then on the side you are then editing an autobiography. You don't do those things simultaneously. You do them on a project basis. you finish this and then you move on to the next one. So simultaneously, no.
Maybe simultaneously is not the right word. Like, I mean, maybe you're not working on them like at the same time, but you add them. Like the way if you're using a freelance platforms and you just have a lot of projects that you've accepted to deliver on certain timelines. So maybe concurrently, maybe that's the word. Maybe not at the editor here. It's hard to interview an editor. Now I discover that. But you get my point.
Okay, I will say two. And as much as possible, I try to avoid the whole Nigerian artisan label, where you have people, artisans, especially tailors, they'll take my material, take yours, take from six different people, and everybody wants their attires delivered a week to Christmas, and the person is just one person. I try to avoid that. So I don't think I've ever had more than two. So I'm working on one, and then there's one waiting in the wings. So once I'm done with this, I move on to the other one. So not more than two at a time.
So speaking from my experience as someone that has had to juggle their normal jobs and a side hustle or side hustles, what would you advise? I'm not going to say this from the permit me to use the word illusion that you actually add it down, you balance this when you were working or when you do side hustles with a normal job. But if you would want to advise, how would you advise that people try to combine their side hustles with their normal job without compromising performance on either side?
Do you know the Justice League?
The movie? Yeah.
Okay, so you'll have to be one of those guys to actually successfully do it without problem. So here's the thing. You have only 24 hours a day, okay? Some of which you need to spend sleeping if the system that does the work is going to function optimally. And there's something called fatigue, okay? When it begins to set in, your output is reduced, the quality of the output is affected, your overall performance is impacted negatively. And it's when you consider all of this, it's also a good reason not to bite off more than you can chew. Okay, because I've heard people who say they're back from their first job at 7, and by 8, they're in front of their computers, they work until 12, 1, they're up at 4 because of Lagos, and then they are out again. And the question is, how sustainable is such a system? Yeah. At the end of the day, something will have to give. One will suffer for the other. The only way you can balance, the only way you can have presentable output for both of them, and I'm saying this because it's possible, yeah, but something will give elsewhere. It will probably be your health that will go for it. But to think you will do excellently at your 9-to-5, excellently at your side hustle, and have your health intact is a bit of a, let me use your word, delusion. Unless, of course, you have more than 24 hours a day, or you're one of the X-Men and you really do not need sleep to function, or your body doesn't need to rest for you to function optimally.
That's fair. But from your own experience, which part suffered? No, leave health aside now. Which part suffered? Was it the side gig or your primary job when you were doing side gigs along with your job?
The side gigs suffered because at the end of the day, consciously or unconsciously, you want to prioritize which sauce gives you the bigger bite of the cherry at the end of the month. So say I'm working for you and you're paying me 600,000, for instance, and I have a side hustle that's adding 250 to that every month. I will consciously or unconsciously prioritize where I'm getting the bigger piece of the cake. Do you understand? So the side gigs suffered because I was earning more from my 9-to-5 than the side gigs. And then, of course, I remember one client I had on one of these platforms. Let me not mention the name. And I had done a couple of book projects for him. But there was this particular one that we started. You know how these things work. The client pays, the platform holds onto the money upon completion of the project, and the client says it's been satisfactorily done. It's then released to me. So, and this chap, we had done a few books together. So I finished and he just ghosted. And I was like, ah. And the way those things are, there are no interactions outside of the platform. So it's not like I had his phone number. I couldn't reach him outside of the platform. And I don't know where he is now, but he was in the UK. And I was to earn in foreign currency. And you know what that is. But he just stops responding. Before I could say Jack Robinson, as they say, I saw the lady on Twitter, the lady who wrote the book. It was a book about her life. And she was coming down to Nigeria to launch the book. And there was a book signing. And I'm like, isn't this the book that I edited? And this guy, so I reached out to her. I was like, sorry. I introduced myself. It was a long shot, very long shot. Because now that I think of it, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do because we didn't have any contract. But I reached out to her. I was like, I did this job for Mr. So-and-so. And she was like, I apologize. I got an agency, da-da-da. I paid him. If he did not pay you, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about that. So I just moved on. I wonder where he is. I guess he's doing well. So that was one of the experiences I had on one of those platforms. Let's leave it unnamed.
Yeah. So would you say it's fair to your other, to the other people you're working for? Because if it's valid that the job that pays you more receives most of your dedication. So would you say it's fair to the other ones that you took on because they are sites? As far as they are concerned, not all of them we know that they are sites. Some of them we just feel like you're working for them. So would you say, let's just say, who are the winners and the losers when it comes to side gigs and side hustles?
Interesting question. So, I can actually speak only for myself here. You will prioritize what gives you the larger piece of the cake. And let me explain with an example, for instance. So I have an assignment from the office that I have not concluded. And I have a deadline for my side gig. Which would I do first? I would do the one from the office first. Does that mean I will not do the one for the side gig? No, I'll do it with as much dedication as I would have done it if that were the only thing I was doing. But I would then communicate with the person for whom I'm doing the side gig that, okay, there will be a delay of 1 or 2 days in delivering this project. So to answer the question, I try to ensure that we all win.
I wanted to ask a follow-up to say, is that possible ideally?
Oh, yeah. So I'll explain using an example. Let's use the recently concluded Paris Olympics, okay? So what I'll try to do is ensure that everybody has a podium finish. At the end of the day, we are all on the podium. It's not a question of whether you're winning gold, silver, or bronze.
No, I'm not going to take that because every employer wants to win gold. Every employer expects to win gold from their employee. So it will still be losing for them if they end up winning bronze.
So, were you on the podium? Was the project delivered?
Okay.
Yes. Were you satisfied? These are the metrics. Were you satisfied? Yes. Will you refer me based on your satisfaction? Yes. Will you come back yourself? Yes, that's a win for me and for the client. Now, there have been one or two cases, okay, where despite my best efforts, the people fell off the podium. So I had a client who had a few complaints about his thesis that I did, and I offered to do it again at no cost to him, and he heard me, and I haven't heard from him since then.
So yeah,
there were cases where despite your best efforts to, he had paid.
So
for my freelance editing, I take 70% upfront.
Okay.
I take 70% upfront. So he had paid the 70%. He had paid the 30%. The complaint came after he met with his project supervisor, and I offered to give it another run through, but I guess he was too upset, and I would have even refunded part of the money, but he wasn't ready to continue any conversation. So yeah, I try to balance things, but sometimes I don't succeed.
Okay, so there's this thing startup founders do when they want to like explain their competitive advantages. They will state their competitors, then their own, then in a tabular form, they have like metrics and they start ticking or canceling. Now, let's mention some of the ways that people can win or lose in this kind of relationship, side hustle, primary job relationship, and see who wins under this metric, who loses. Is it a balance? So for instance, now you've clearly stated when it comes to the impact of on health, the person is the loser, the talent is the loser. So can we mention some of those things, like aspect,
that
okay, this particular aspect, I as a talent wins, my primary job wins, side gig loses, this particular metrics, let's kind of do that, like competitive advantage.
Okay, so before we jump into that, when it comes to health, everybody loses, because if the talent's health is affected, their ability to do their job is impacted, and then if the ability to do their job well is impacted, their employers or the people who for whom they are working as people for whom they are working in their side hustle also do not get the best of their abilities. So the primary loser when health is affected is the talent working, because if my health is affected and I can't deliver consistently, you can replace me. Do you understand? The person for whom I'm working in my side gig can decide to go somewhere else. So initially everyone is losing because I cannot deliver as I should. Ultimately, I will be the only one losing because they can move on from talent.
Okay. Other things, other factors, outcome, productivity,
okay,
quality of results.
The talent loses because if you're solely focused on one task, you are more likely to give it your complete focus than if you had two or three other things vying for your attention. Say you need to edit this recording, for instance. Yeah. But because you have a side hustle, after it's almost six. After this, instead of focusing on editing this, you jump to the next thing because your resumption time there is 6 o'clock. Your productivity here is affected. Okay. So when it comes to productivity, it's the talent that loses because I won't be able to give my best work. The employer also loses because you're not getting value for the money that you're paying. Yeah. Is there any scenario where anyone actually wins? No. I was just thinking aloud. Yeah. But for quality, the employer loses.
Okay. One more factor, reputation.
Reputation will be a byproduct of the quality. So if I'm able to ensure that I don't overload myself, yeah, because I said earlier that at no point have I had more than two side gigs, one that I'm currently working on and one in waiting. If by virtue of my ability to not overbook myself, so to speak, I'm able to manage my time such that my productivity is not greatly affected at my 9-to-5 or on the side gig trail, then I'm able to build a reputation for good work, speedy delivery, and or whatnot. So whether my reputation will be negatively impacted is a function of the quality of work that I put out, which is a trickle-down effect of whether I'm taking on more than I can handle. Now, there are people who have mastered this whole marriage between their 9-to-5s and their side gigs such that they have their schedules very structured, okay? It's done in such a way that nothing is meeting the other, and there's room enough, there's time enough to handle any overflows. And by that I mean, take someone, for instance, whose office is on her street, okay? She has successfully cut out travel time to and from work. That buys her an extra 2 or 3 hours, maybe more, depending on where you're coming from. Do you understand? So if she resumes at 9 and she gets up at 5, she can get in a good 3 hours of work on her side gig before she goes to her 9-to-5. If she closes at 5 and she gets to her house in 10 minutes, where other people are still on the road battling traffic, she's home. If she wants to do some more work that she carried home from the office, she can. If she wants to work from 8 to 12 or from 7 to 10 on her side gig, she can. Do you understand? So there are people who have been able to, they have a system. And then you have those whose offices have gone fully remote. There's no travel time. So some people have hacked it. Not everybody can hack it. How many people can live close to their offices? Yeah. But some have hacked it. And if you can hack it and you have a system, then your quality will not be affected. Your health will not be negatively impacted. And then because your productivity is top-notch, you have a reputation for doing good work at the office. You have a reputation for doing good work on your side gig. But the question is, how many people have been able to hack it and have a workable, sustainable system?
That's a good question. How many people have been able to find it that way? Because ideal situations do not really exist that much. And from the inside that you've mentioned, I'm thinking after this podcast, I'm literally going to draw that table and probably draw insight and come up with a data-backed outcome of who really the winners and the losers is when it comes to this thing that we've come to take as normal. Let's end this conversation with this particular one where we talk about what the future, with the future of work now, is it going to get worse with the importance that has been placed on side gigs and side hustles? Or there's going to be a respite at some point? Or it will evolve, or it will just remain the way it is? As we've gotten into the hustle culture, there's no going out again.
So I can only speculate based on two things. The first is the fact that globally, inflation is a problem, okay? And as such, the cost of living is constantly rising, and not every organization can match inflation's percentage increase. So there will constantly be a need to earn more to meet the basic demands of life. That's one. The second thing that I'm basing my speculation on, it's a bit of a controversial subject, but it's one that we will be forced to have, whether we want to or not. And that's the fact that with artificial intelligence getting more intelligent, there'll be a shift in how work is done. There'll be a shift in how people work. There'll be a shift in how organizations want things to be done. So when you throw all of this together into a melting pot, you end up with a possible scenario where there might be fewer jobs than there are today. Even if there aren't, which is very unlikely, the jobs that will exist tomorrow will require a certain level of specialization that not everyone is preparing for. And then with all of this happening, inflation continues to rise. So if you're not one of the few who is in a position where what you earn is enough for you to live and even fund a hobby, you might be forced to constantly have a need for extra streams of income. What this means for the overall health of the worker, what it means for the quality of output that companies get, is essentially a discussion for another day. But I think the side hustle, side gig culture has come to stay. It has come to stay. Of course, these are speculations. If I could see the future, I would position myself to make the most of it. But I can't. We can only speculate based on what we see on ground today.
Of course, what we have to work with is speculations for most of the things that we call data today. We make inferences from what is going on, and that is what we've basically done. We've looked at the reasons why people do multiple jobs, economic situation. Now, with lesser and lesser people needed to do the jobs and AI coming in, they might just focus on the people that are specialized, and people that are specialized, if they're not many, they have to do more jobs. So it's the speculations. We'll get back to this in another decade and see how far the Ozu culture has gone. Thank you very much, Precious, for speaking with me on this. And I'm sure many people that will listen to this would be able to relate. And I'm one of those few people, the exemption, that I'm not going to get tied into the Ozu culture. I told myself.
All the best.
Oh my God. I tried it once or twice. And all the best. I tried it once or twice. It didn't work for me. I had to tell myself, I can't do this. I can't do this. So maybe I'm one of the few exemptions. But I'm just hoping that a time would come where everyone would be able to manage it, since it's already enough. And that is why we're having this conversation. Anyone that listens to this, I would want to know what you think about the Ozu culture and trying to make ends meet. Come to think of it, there's really literally no other way to make ends meet without the Ozu culture. It's so messed up. The rat race. But yeah, that's it. I'm not going to bore you more with my complaints. But thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Modern Workplace Conversations. Don't forget to drop your feedback. Catch you in the next one. Bye.